Today's mailbag comes to us from Lisa. One of my May planning day goals was to finish our financial binder before the end of August. I finished every section except section 4, and it feels great. This included multiple trips to the safe deposit box and end-of-life planning questions with my husband. I added two things to the binder that were not on the list. I added a copy of our Social Security benefit estimate statements, we are not currently retired, and copies of our current credit reports. I have peace of mind knowing our executor will know about our accounts and where to find things. Thank you, Organize 365.
Do you have an Organize 365 success story? If so, we would love to hear about it. Please send us an email at customerservice@organize365 and tell us how you have taken back your home, your paper, and your life with Organize 365.
Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. The more I learn about the executive functions and the prefrontal cortex of the brain, the more I am astounded how much it is related to understanding organization, physical organization, mental organization, just organization in general. And last week, we dove into the first of the executive functions I wanted to tackle, which is working memory. And I'm going to continue to make this little caveat here that I'm just a former stay-at-home mom and teacher with a microphone that has a podcast. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. These are just my observations over time in organizing my kids in the classroom, in organizing my kids at home, in organizing myself, in organizing other men and women in Cincinnati in their homes and in their businesses, and in growing the Organize 365 community and audience and the information that you have told me. So last week we talked about working memory, and I really don't think that you can focus on the rest of the executive functions until you get the working memory piece settled. Because your mind is amazing. It has so many ideas, so many things it wants to tell you about. It wants to talk to you all day long and give you all these great things you could do and be and think and have and just all these ideas. And until you have a way to capture those ideas in some kind of a physical form, your brain is not going to stop talking to you. It's going to say, but remember, we have to pick up the milk. And did you know there's a birthday party on Friday? And oh, you know, you're out of socks. All the socks you have holes in them. And you, it's just this constant two-year-old just talking to you, talking to you, talking to you. You're like, okay, I hear you. I'm writing it down on a piece of paper. I'm putting it over here in this safe Sunday basket. And I will process all of this information you're telling me on Sunday. If it's not urgent and has to be done before Sunday, I am going to safely keep this information somewhere else so I can make forward progress on what's actually on our agenda and to-do list for the week. That was huge for me. Creating a Sunday basket, that's my solution for the working memory. Creating a Sunday basket when my kids were 6 months and 2 years old over 20 years ago was a game changer. It finally gave me enough mental peace and clarity to even move forward beyond that. Other than that, I was just trying to keep up with the phone ringing, the text messages coming in, the mail coming through the front door, you know, the obligations that I had, and I was just like a hamster running on a hamster wheel. The second executive function that I want to talk about is organization of materials. It's actually part of your brain. Like, to be an organized person, to have organizational structures for your physical things is part of your brain, which is awesome for me and also mind-boggling. I cannot believe how much the physical organization of your space really does impact how you function and how you think about the world. The way Organize 365 approaches this physical organization of materials is like a teacher. I am a teacher. I'm a Montessori teacher, an elementary teacher. I was a preschool teacher, middle school math teacher. Like, I am a teacher. And so when I think about you and I think about all of your classmates that are listening to this podcast, I know that everyone has their own personal preferences. They have their own learning style and they have their own aesthetics that they like to adhere to. And so in Organize 365, how I have created every system that we have is that the basic system, the Sunday basket, the productive home solution, the binders, are structured enough that every single person can have success. There's not too much structure. It's not so much to do that you're overwhelmed before you even get started. And there's not too little structure in that you can make any decision that you want, so you don't even know how to have success because there's not enough structure in the system. So for example, in the Sunday basket, it's a physical box. It sits on your kitchen counter. Now, you may be really good at organizing digitally once you organize things in analog. You may be productive digitally, but we need a physical place. Like when you come in at the end of the day and you dump everything on that kitchen counter, where do those things go if they have to wait until Sunday? It's a physical place, but it's just a box. Like it's a big enough box that you could throw a prescription bottle in there if you need to get it refilled, or an ink cartridge box in there if you just used your last ink cartridge box, or the last of the flea and tick medicine for your dog. You can just throw the box right in there. You could drop note cards in there. You could drop your mail in there. You could drop library books that need to be returned in there. You could drop toys that need to have new batteries in there. Like it's not so small that you have to write everything on paper, yet it's not so big that it takes up your whole kitchen counter. And it really does allow you to quickly move things that you would have taken action on before, just so you didn't have to put them on a to-do list or just left them on your kitchen counter for a long, long time, into a safe location where it will wait until Sunday. Now, in addition, in that box, we have a bunch of slash pockets, and you can get really, really micromanaged in your slash pockets if you like to. Slash pockets are just plastic. They go in binders, actually. They're binder inserts, but we put them in this box, and it's kind of like a kitchen counter filing system almost, but it's for active papers. They're see-through, even though they're color-coded, so you could see the little pieces of paper you put in there and the big emails that you print out and put in there. And there are enough slash pockets there that you can get a lot of divisions in your paper that you're saving, but they're also color-coded in a way that all five purple and all five pink and all five blue and all five green really look like one kind of work, so that you don't get overwhelmed with how many different slash pockets there are. So all of the Organize 365 systems are this way. They give enough structure that you can get started, but not too many rules that it takes a long time to start to implement. There's not too little, there's not too much, there's just the right amount. And minimalists and maximalists alike all like the Organize 365 systems because you can change them for your preferences. Now, in this podcast, as we're talking about the executive function of organization of materials, I'm going to take you through five rules. Rules are really, really, really helpful for humans. We love to have rules. We actually like to be the maker of the rules. So when you are organizing, basically that is exactly what you're doing. You are creating rules for yourself that you will adhere to in order to live your life more habitually. Your life is 95% run by your habits anyway, and organization creates more rules, more habits that help your life to run the way you want it to run. So rule number one is that everything has a place, one place that you will look for that thing. Now, here's where people go wrong with the one rule of everything has a place. When you get too rigid about this and you think, okay, everything has a place, the secondary part of that that you put on, and I don't know why we do this. I do this, you do this, we all do this. We're like, okay, everything has to have a place. What is the proper place for this item? And when you say, what is the proper place for this item, you mean by what you've seen on a TV show, what you saw in your house of origin, what you think they would say on Pinterest. If you were looking up a way to organize this thing on Pinterest, what is the proper place to put this thing? And I want to take that part of the equation away. Everything should have a place, but there is no proper place. I want to say that again. Everything in your house should have a place. It should have a home where it lives that you could put it away. But there is no proper place. And I think that is why so many people resist getting organized to begin with, or they get organized and then they fail to maintain the system because they organized in the way they think that things are supposed to be put in houses, but it's not actually how they use them. So I'm going to take an example that's not even at the home that will drive this home for you. So Joey went to a learning disability school. It was a really small school called Springer School and Center. And after he had been there a few years, we moved him back into the public school because, frankly, we ran out of money. The school's really expensive. So we moved him back into the public school. And at the private school, the classroom has two teachers for 12 children. All of your materials are in one desk. Everything is accommodated for you. But in a public school, there were like, I don't know, like 600 kids in this building. I mean, there weren't even 100 kids in the entire building Joey was in before. Now there are like 600 kids, maybe 800 kids in this building. And there are tons of classes and you're switching classes all the time. And there are tons of materials that you need to carry around. And after he had been there a couple of weeks, I got a call and they said, you need to come up to school. Joey's not, you know, he's not able to manage his materials for his classroom. So I get up to school and Joey's sitting in the office and he has a stack of books. And it was like he's in a weight training program or something. I mean, he's got notebooks and folders and binders and textbooks. Oh my. And I said, we'll be back. And I put him in the car and I left the building. We came home, we sat on the family room floor. I said, tell me about all this stuff you're carrying around. So we spread it all on the floor and he told me what each of these notebooks and folders and binders and books and all of these things were for. And I said, okay, we're not doing this anymore. So I went in the basement. I got a 2-inch binder. These are the binders that organize 365 cells now. Like, I'm extremely particular about my binders. I love a good binder. There are many binder manufacturers in the United States that are not happy about how particular I am about my binders, but I am very particular about my binders. I like a 2-inch binder. It's perfect. It's not too big. It's not too little. I like a D-ring binder so that all the pages laid flat and nothing gets all curled up. I like a one-touch binder. So when you open it at the bottom, all the rings open. Like, I'm very obsessive about my binders. So I have these binders in my basement. So I get a binder, I bring it upstairs, and then I get these slosh pockets like I was talking to you about in the Sunday basket. Like, these are office supplies, people. You can get them in an office supply store, just not in the color-coded way that we sell them. So I pull those upstairs and I said, Joey, you now have one binder and you are going to carry this one binder around and I am going to put these slash pockets in here and we got the label maker out and I labeled the slash pockets in the order of his classes. So the top one was his first class of the day. The second one was the next class of his day. I didn't care what color the slash pockets were. I didn't care if the teacher wanted yellow for math and red for reading. It didn't matter to me. I was like, it doesn't matter. None of this matters. We are just going to put this in one binder. I took everything out of all the folders, I took everything out of all of the notebooks, and I put them in one binder. And then I went back to the school, because we had an IEP, Individualized Education Plan, and I said, Joey will have two textbooks. He will have one at home, and he will have one waiting for him in the classroom when he gets there. There's no need for him to be carrying textbooks around. And they said, oh, we don't have enough money for the textbooks, we don't have, I said, I will buy the textbooks. They should be included on his IEP, but I will buy the textbooks if I need to buy the textbooks. So we duplicated all of his textbooks and he was carrying now one binder from class to class to class, which reduced his, all of these other executive functions, his working memory, his planning time, his initiation, his all of them got reduced by having everything in one organized binder, organized by his schedule, everything right there. I think there was one class where we still needed the notebook. Notebooks are three-hole punched. We put the three-hole punched notebook right into the binder. And everything was right there. And we kept this system for Joey all the way through his school years. When he was a freshman in high school, we bought a binder. I can't remember. I think it was called a Z binder. It's a zip up binder, but it zips on both sides. It's actually 2 1-inch binders. On one side, we did math. On the other side were all of his other subjects. It also has a strap on it, so you can kind of carry it like it's a briefcase. When Joey got to school freshman year, I did the same exact thing because this is our thing now. We just figure out his schedule. We set up his thing. I don't care what the teacher's colors are. Sorry, teachers. I don't care. Like, this is what he needs to do. So Joey has his binders and he's got everything going on. It's like the second or third week of school. And he says, Mom, you need to come into school, bring the supplies. We need to organize the kids in my classroom. I said, what are you talking about? So he was in a resource room and he had told everyone that his mom was a professional organizer and that she would make these binders for them. And you're right. I did. I went in there. I was like, yep, we're all making these binders. Joey never went to his locker in 4 years of high school. If you struggle with executive function, and as you learn more about these executive functions, working memory, transition times, organization of materials, planning, these all take an exorbitant amount of mental energy. And to traipse ups and down like 3 floors to get to a locker, he's like, forget it. He just carried this binder on his shoulder, class to class, plus his computer, like his whole high school career. Like he never used his locker the entire time. And that's great. That's what I want for you. You should have everything has a place, but it doesn't have to be the place that even your boss or your teacher or whoever tells you it has to be. It has to be the place that's going to work for you. Because would you like to have a student that has every single binder and folder color-coded the way that the teacher designed over the summer? Or would you like to have a student that actually has the materials and homework on time in class? I'm not saying we always had that, but you know, the odds went way up once we had one binder. And so inside of the kids program, I do talk about this Lisa school binder. It's just one of our 2-inch lattice binders with one set of the 1.0 slash pockets. And it is heaven on earth. It is for a child who struggles to make the transition from class to class to class, who struggles with the processing speed, with trying to figure out which notebook and which folder. You know, if you're a teacher, you know exactly what students I'm talking about. And if you're a parent, you know exactly which ones of your children would benefit from a 2-inch notebook. And let me just tell you, every student would. I don't understand why this is not how we don't organize students. Like, students should have one 2-inch binder with all of their stuff in there. Just like every adult should have one Sunday basket with all of their stuff in there. And every employee should have one Friday workbox with all of their stuff in there. The problem is when you don't have one place, you spend so much time looking for stuff, so much time trying to find things, that by the time you find them, you're so flustered and frustrated with yourself and everyone around you that you forget why you're even looking at it, and the time to get the project done is already gone. So I say to you, everything does have to have a place. That is rule number one. Everything does have to have a place. But it doesn't need to be the place that you saw in a TV show or in your house growing up or that your organized friend has. Or whatever. No, it needs to be the one that is going to work for you. What is going to work for you? So when I was professionally organizing people and we would come up to nail clippers, I would say, okay, when you need to clip your nails, where do you go? Most people would say the bathroom. In our house, it was always in the kitchen. I know, gross. No, we didn't actually clip our nails in the kitchen. But we went to look for the nail clippers in the little junk drawer or the office supply drawer in our kitchen. That's where we would look for them. Then we'd use them outside. We'd use them other places. We wouldn't use them in the kitchen, but that's where we went to look for them. When my kids were little, when I created the Sunday basket, when they were 6 months and 2 years old, where was my home office? In my kitchen. I cleared out 2 cabinets full of stuff I was not going to cook with. And I literally put binders and mailing supplies and catalogs for the direct sales company I was with in my kitchen, because I spent 85% of my waking hours in that kitchen family room area that I had gated off that was 100% baby proofed. I mean, the swing was there, the food was there. I did everything in that tiny little part of my house most of the days. So that is where my home office was. Even though I had a loft upstairs that had beautiful desks and everything, I could never get there. By the time I got there and the kids were asleep, I was ready to go to sleep. It was pointless. So I just moved it all right into the kitchen. So Rule number one, everything has a place, and that place is where you most need it to be, which leads right into rule number two, which is we reorganize at life stage changes and unexpected events. So I often will say, Organize 365 helps you organize through life stages and unexpected events. What the heck am I talking about? So what I'm talking about, the very first book I ever wrote was called The Mindset of Organization, and it talks about how basically every 20 years, the organization that you need in your house completely changes. So your first 20 years of life, you are a kid. And when you are a kid, your organization is related to your bedroom. So you need to learn how to straighten and tidy and organize your bedroom. And by the time you get to the end of that phase, where you're 20, 21, 22 to 25, you are moving from your childhood bedroom into a dorm or an apartment or a condo. And you move from a one-bedroom living situation into, you know, one bedroom not in your household, like a dorm, or an apartment that has two or three rooms, or a condo that has maybe an extra bedroom, so you've got four spaces to maintain. So you're going from this tiny microcosm of a childhood bedroom into a little bit bigger dwelling where you now have a bedroom that is separate from your eating area and your entertainment area, possibly a second bedroom and possibly a laundry room. That stage of organization is all about how do you get all of your stuff into small areas and then create zones inside of that one space so that you can keep that organization structured. Then you enter what I call accumulation. So from 20 to 30, you are in the accumulation phase. Even if you're a minimalist, even if you don't get married and have kids, you are still in the accumulation stage because it's impossible not to be. Like, it is literally impossible not to accumulate things in your 20s and 30s because you are separating yourself from your family of origin and you're starting your independent adulthood. Even if you stay home, even if you stay in your childhood bedroom, you still are in accumulation because you're accumulating knowledge and new friends and new interests and hobbies. And when you do move out of your childhood bedroom, then you realize you don't own anything. Like, you literally don't have a screwdriver, a hammer, nails, a mop, a bucket, like nothing. Every time you go to do anything in your 20s, you realize you don't own any of the things you need to do whatever it is that you wanted to do. Because you used to be in your family of origin home and they had all that stuff because they've already been through accumulation. You accumulate different jobs. I say to my kids in their 20s all the time, like, just do that job. Try it. Like, you're probably going to have five different jobs. It doesn't matter. Like, take the job, do it, try it, learn from it, try the next one. Like, this is part of your 20s. It's all about experimenting with who do you want to be when you grow up? You don't know. It's not like you turn 18 and you're like, oh, yep, I knew that's what I was going to be. No, no one knows. And anybody who says everybody knows, they're not telling you the truth. It's all about experimentation. It's all about learning. Like, do I want to live downtown? Do I want to live in a suburb? Do I like an apartment? Do I want a condo? Do I like, what do you want? What do you want? Figure out what you want. And along the way, as you're accumulating, you may accumulate a spouse. You may accumulate a child or children. And once you have a child, Katie bar the door, there's going to be a lot of accumulation. And it's going to be like a blizzard of stuff that is coming into your house. No matter how minimal you want to be, it just floods in and then you reestablish the amount of things that you need. So after your 20s and 30s, then something happens between like 37 and 42. You're going to have this little flip switch, and all of a sudden, all of the accumulation of knowledge and skills and people that you've had from your 20s and 30s will coalesce into this new understanding of who you uniquely are and what you want to do. And it may not match up to what you thought it would be or what your parents thought it would be or the path you thought you were on, but all of a sudden you'll be like, you know what? I want to do this thing over here. I want to try this other thing. I've had enough life experience now that I've decided I like to wear dressy jeans. I don't like to wear khakis. Like, things like this. You get rid of things out of your wardrobe that you've had for 20 years, and now all of a sudden you're like, I can't even believe I had that. That's totally not who I am. And you kind of like know who you are now. Like, you just kind of know who you are. And in your 40s and 50s is really understanding okay, I've had all this life experience. This is what I think I'm here to do on the planet. This is who I am, take it or leave it. Like, I'm more comfortable with myself. I'm more comfortable in my skin. Like, it starts at 40 and it really kicks in at 50, and it's awesome. I label this the survival years because you still have all of these expectations of your family members and all of the people you accumulated in your 20s and 30s have ideas of who they think you are. And all of a sudden you're like, actually, no, I'm this person over here. And they're like, wait, what? I'm like, yeah, yeah. So all these things that I accumulated, sometimes it's people, sometimes it's jobs, sometimes, a lot of times it's jobs, sometimes it's the physical things. Like, you tend to really deeply purge as you turn 40, and you just let go a lot of the life experiences that got you to where you are today, but are not going to take you to where you're going next. I also call them the survival years because if you did accumulate children along the way, you live these years in your car. There will be a season of like 3 to 5 years where you feel like all you're doing is driving, because all you're doing is driving. It'll be like 15 to 25 hours a week, sometimes more, just driving. Driving kids places, driving to this, driving to your job. Like, you're just constantly driving. And you have all these ideas of what you want to do in your house and how the organization would serve you better, but you are never there. Like, you're never at home. And you're like, this is like, all I am is either at work or at a game or driving, or like, you're never home. And so it's survival because you don't have enough time to get the house the way you want it organized because you just physically aren't there. And then the last stage is downsizing and legacy. Happens around 55 or 60. And this is when you're like, okay, now I'm entering my empty nest years, or, you know, those kind of years, or what is it that is truly important to me? And by the time you get to 55, 60, you've experienced quite a few unexpected events, which I'll go through next. But as you're going into this downsizing and legacy, all of a sudden, the acquiring of material possessions is not as important as it was in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s. And the status symbols have lost their luster. You'd rather have, you know, money in the bank than money that you can flash around. The amount of things that are in your house starts to overwhelm you. So you start to get rid of the amount of things. You start to trade items that have lesser value for items that have more value. So fewer things, but they're higher value things. And this is all necessary because you've experienced unexpected events. Now, unexpected events can be losing a child, losing a spouse, losing a parent, getting a divorce, having a natural disaster, or a big life experience like COVID, that just all these things cause you to stop and take stock in who you are and where you are and where you're going and how important the material things around you are. And it ends up that they're not as important as you once thought that they were. But they were important when you acquired them. And when you acquired them, they were helping you learn a skill or take on a new identity. And so these items were important at one time, but now they aren't as important as they once were. So rule number two is you tend to reorganize your life at these different stages and at the time when you have unexpected events. And what I want to tell you about this is normal. This is so normal. This is how you process through changes and losses during unexpected events. You don't need to resist this. And don't try to speed it up. Like, embrace it and give yourself the grace to process this with a supportive community. And then this change, this processing, this organization that you struggle with when you leave your family of origin, when you turn 40, when you have your first baby, when you move, when you settle in a state, like, this change that you are processing through makes you who you are going to be in the next phase. It's not something that needs to be rushed through, and it's there. You don't need to be frustrated with yourself because here I am again. I'm disorganized again. I can't believe I'm back where I once was. Of course, life is cyclical. Yes, you're going to keep going through this. If I were to move tomorrow, I'd be a hot mess over here. That's why I just don't move. I really just stay in the same house. It'll be fine. So rule number one, everything has a place, but that place can be wherever you want it to be. And rule number two, reorganizing your life at different stages of life and after unexpected events is completely normal. To end up being disorganized is completely normal. Now, rule number three is super important because I don't mention it very often. I want you to really hear this one. When I was doing professional organization, I would always make sure to say this every single time I was doing a session and multiple times. Maintain what is working. When we get overwhelmed, when we're going through a change of life stage or after an unexpected event, we're like, oh my gosh, I'm so disorganized. Oh, I don't know how I got here and I don't want to be here and I don't want to be here again. So this time I'm going to perfectly get organized so I never have to be in this experience again. That is a lie. That's not going to happen. And secondly, you feel so overwhelmed and so out of sorts that you're like, everything has to change. This is the time where I'm going to adopt some brand new level of organizing that I've never had before. Resist that urge. Maintain what is working. Usually something, or often a lot of things, are still working. So you may, I would love to have my house rainbow organized. When I was at Debbie Cannon's house, when I was out there in Utah for the book signing, that house is organized. Like, that is Pinterest organized. She has a Pinterest organized house. It's beautiful. Debbie, your house, beautiful. Mine? No. Doesn't look like. Nothing's labeled. Nothing is labeled in my house. Usually the containers don't even match, but it's organized. Like, my house is very organized. It's not decorator. So I go to Debbie's house and I'm like, oh, I own a Cricut. I could get those white bins like Debbie has. That looks so great. And you know what? It's never going to work for me. It's just not. Like, could I get my house labeled that way? Yes. It won't stay. And it would really just be hobby organizing for me anyway, because I don't need it organized like that. And I'm a very functional organizer. I just don't need the labeled containers. But boy, do I love it. Like, yes, I watched the home edit. It looks amazing. I rainbow organize my books, mostly because I have a visual memory and I know what color my books are. So that's really easy for me. And I thought it was genius that they rainbow organized all of the board games. Ah, that was so cute. Like, I would love that. But do you know how I organize my board games? I take everything out of the box because there's too many boxes. I don't have enough space for all these boxes. Like, when Grayson gets into board games, that's my grandson, I'll be putting them in Ziploc bags because I could just get a lot more board games in the space that I have in Ziploc bags. I don't have the space for all those rainbow boxes. And our family's not very good at board games. Like, I love board games, but my family, not big board game players. So even though it's adorable and I love it and I would totally want to have it, it's totally impractical for how I organize. So maintain what is working for you. What is working for me? Everything has a zone. Everything has a home. Everything's functionally organized. I go through everything on a regular basis. I don't have more than I need, usually. But nothing's labeled. Nothing's labeled. So only be looking for organization solutions for what is not already organized. Because organization is essential and it is where time comes from. And organization will change as you change. But if you're just organizing things because you love to organize now, which is what happens, even when you're an unorganized person and you finally get organized, all of a sudden you love organizing because now you understand how it works and it becomes your hobby, and then you reorganize things that are already organized. No. Use that time for what you're uniquely created to do, not to reorganize things that are already organized. So functional organizing is practical and it's not a lot of maintenance, and a 10 to 15 minute a day tidy will totally keep you organized because it's organized the way that you use it. Everything has a place, but the place is where you need it. You reorganize when you're going through different life changes and unexpected events, but for the most part, you don't really have to spend very much time organizing because you're maintaining what is working. So maintain what is working. Don't go for a new system, even an Organize 365 system, if you already have a solution that is working for you. Okay, rule number 4. Organization of materials has an order. Okay, so there is an order to getting organized. And this is the piece that I think is missing most in all the online places where you find organization ideas. You can get a great picture, a great printout, a great decluttering checklist, but there is an order in which you do the organizing in your house that makes the most difference. Just like math has an order, you learn to add, then you learn to subtract, then you learn to multiply, then you learn to divide. You physically cannot learn to divide before you know how to add, like, because you need addition, subtraction, and multiplication in order to do long division. So you cannot learn long division before you learn all of these other math facts and these other math processes. Organization in a home is exactly the same. You have to learn to organize your childhood bedroom before you know how to organize an apartment and condo, before you know how to organize a house, which is why we end up with a lot of adults that don't know how to organize because they never knew how to organize their childhood bedroom. Organization is a learnable skill. You can learn it at any time, but if you didn't learn it as a child, then you have to learn that kind of organizing and each of the other stages so that it all makes sense. And this is why we all end up with Swiss cheese organizing. So Swiss cheese organizing is when you continually go back to the spaces that you know how to organize, which usually are your closet and your kitchen. And when you say this house is out of order and I have to do something to get control of this house, you end up purging your closet and purging your kitchen because those two areas are the most talked about on the internet and on TV. And you've seen the most examples outside of your own family of origin of how to clean a closet and how to clean a kitchen. And so you get through the weekend, you spent the entire weekend doing your closet and doing your kitchen. And so now you feel like, okay, well, I've gotten these areas organized. And so you can go on with your life because you're more organized than you were when you started the weekend. But the truth of the matter is you've never organized the family room or the storage room or the paper or the garage because you don't know how to. And frankly, you ran out of time and now you feel a little bit better. So you've moved on with your life. Completely normal. If this is you, this is completely normal because this is how we've taught organization. It's very superficial and it's not getting the job all the way done. So how then would you get the job all the way done? And I like to say you start with your personal organization. When you get personally organized, which does start with your closet, your bathroom, your part of the bathroom, your part of the bedroom, your transportation, your wallet, your purse, your backpack, your phone, your computer, your email, when you get yourself personally organized and keep going back and keep going back and keep going back until all of those areas are organized, that organization will stay with you for 5 to 15 years. 5 to 15 years. Yes, you're going to need to organize your closet 3 times a year because we have different seasons. And you'll clean out your backpack at that time and you'll freshen up all these areas. But once you know how to organize these areas, and you've created rules for these areas, you'll be able to do that in a weekend. Update your personal organization in a weekend. Storage organization, which we almost never get to. We get to storage organization in 3 different times. 1, when we're settling an estate. 2, when you're moving. And 3, during the holidays, because that's where you keep the holiday decorations. Other than that, we just pretend that we don't have storage and that we just keep shoving things in there, usually broken things, things we don't know what to do with. We just shove them down there. When you take the time to organize your storage area, which is your internal store, things that you've already paid for, that you're saving, that you might need later, so you go down there and get them like it's a store that is inside of your house. When we decide to organize that correctly, it will be organized forever, forever, forever. If you could put in a shelving system and you put in bins and then you just maintain this, you know, at the holidays, clean it all out when you put it all away again, it'll stay organized all year. It will stay organized from one move to the next. It will stay organized forever. But we don't typically get to wherever our storage is. Then there are family and communal spaces. Family and communal spaces are where people tend to start organizing, like the kitchen, the family room, the garage. These spaces will maintain organization for anywhere from 1 to 6 weeks. 1 to 6 weeks. Yeah. So if you keep going back to your kitchen to organize it, guess what? You could do that every single weekend, like for the rest of your life. And there'll always be more to do. You know why? Because you live in it. And other people live in it and they mess it up and then they mess up your system. So then you relabel your system and you try to explain it to them again and they still mess it up and then you're frustrated. And so you relabel it again. No. Spend your time on personal and storage organization. These areas will get organized and it will reduce the amount of stress that you have about because it's bothering you. It's bothering you that these spaces are not organized and no one's going to mess them up. Pretty much. I mean, they'll shove stuff in the storage room that you don't need. But once a year, you could just move that out. It's no big deal. And if you know it's no big deal and that you're going to spend 1 weekend a year organizing the storage, it's no big deal. Like, okay, great. They shove stuff in there. I'm going to deal with that when I organize that every December. Family and communal organization is the perpetual stage of life that you're in organization. Now, if you're an empty nester, or if you're in your 20s and 30s, or if you don't have a spouse, you don't have kids, you can get your family and communal spaces organized and they will stay organized. The only reason family and communal spaces don't stay organized is because you cohabitate with other humans who have heartbeats. That's when it becomes difficult. And yeah, I have you focus on you. The last area of Swiss cheese organizing we have is paper. And the reason that we don't organize our paper is because we don't know how. And I have a tiny secret for you. Professional organizers don't know how either. I didn't know how either. Nobody does. Like, we never, I mean, it's overwhelming. Every single piece of paper you pick up, it's like, ugh, what do I do with this one? Ugh, what do I do with this one? Oh, another one of these. Didn't I have another one of those? It's like playing the game of memory and go fish as an adult. So like, oh, this is a medical thing. Wasn't there another medical paper here somewhere? Oh, that matched up with that. Like, you're playing the memory game. Like, okay, medical here and school papers here. And this paper. And they're also playing go fish because you're like, okay, well, I have three papers here, but I need five. And I don't even know where the other two are. Are they in a file cabinet? Are they on the computer? Do I have to go back to the organization? Like, oh, paper is so hard. It's so hard. And then you don't want to, and it's boring, and you're all by yourself, and you don't know what you don't know, and nobody knows how to do it. And oh, this is why I like to do it at paper organizer retreats, because at least you get treats, and you can talk to other people, and there's music. And then you get it done faster, and it's like, oh, it's less painful that way. That's how I like to organize paper. But once you do it, once you stop ignoring the fact that you have to organize all this stuff that's on your computer, in your head, and in your file cabinet, get a handle on it. Reference stuff goes in binders, not a file cabinet. Active stuff goes in a Sunday basket. Once you do it, it will stay organized for 10, 20 years, possibly forever. Like, it is the biggest gift you will give whoever is going to do your estate or may have to be your power of healthcare and power of attorney forever. It's the biggest gift you can give your future self when the unexpected events happen, because every single unexpected event in life is paper heavy, every single one. And the paper is super, super urgent. So rule number four is the order of organizing your materials. Organizing your materials has an order. Organizing your materials has an order. And the order is not what you want to do next weekend. The order is to pick these categories and get them all the way organized. That's what we found in our academic research. 87% of Americans believe organization is a learnable skill. It is. You could totally learn it. You totally can learn it. The number of people who said they are personally organized, 15%. Storage organized, 14%. Family and communal space organized, 13%. Paper organized, 18%. That's pathetic. My school is not even on academic probation. It's just shut down. They're like, if 87% of people believe they could do this, but yet only 13 to 18% are having success, I have failed as a teacher. And that is why I really want to create these rules for you, because it's not how it looks. Organization has nothing to do with how it looks, or if other people come in your house, they go, oh, wow, you look organized. It doesn't matter. You can look organized and be completely unorganized. And you can look unorganized and be completely organized. Because rule number one, everything has a place. Rule number two, you're going to reorganize your life at every life stage, an unexpected event. Rule number three, you need to maintain what is working, only look for solutions that aren't working. And rule number four, the order of organizing your materials matters. So you could be personally organized, but your family and communal spaces can look like a bomb went off in the first floor of your house. And people will say, oh, you're not organized. But you know what? You are. Because if you are personally organized, like, you could get up in the morning, get dressed, have your shower, get your coffee, like, and your day is going great. That is better than people walking into your house and thinking that your family and communal spaces look great, but you personally are not organized. You don't have clothes that fit. It's stressful for you the second you wake up. Like, personally, for you, I would rather that your personal spaces were organized, your storage spaces were organized, and your paper was organized, and your family and communal spaces looked like a mild tornado went through your house. You know why? because you'll be so much less stressed. You are so much less stressed when your personal organization, storage organization, and paper organization is organized. When you're asked for a paper, you can go find it. When you need to retrieve something from your internal store in the storage room, you can go get it. When you get up in the morning, you get a chance to get a shower and you get dressed in clothes that look and feel great on you. You can tackle anything. And if you're living with other people, the family communal spaces are only going to stay organized like 1 to 6 weeks anyway. Much better that you spend your time on these other areas that are going to last 5, 10, 15 years or a lifetime, because then push come to shove, you and some of the other people with heartbeats in your house can spend a whole weekend organizing your family and communal spaces, and they'll stay organized for the whole weekend that you're going to have people over or have the holidays or have whatever, and then it'll go back to a small tornado inside of your house. And when you can learn to live with that chaos, that controlled chaos that is most observable to your family members and people who come in your house, but yet have calm and order in all of the invisible areas, you actually will have a lot more peace and a lot more control over your environment. So let me leave you with rule number 5. And rule number 5 is the organization of materials is all about creating personal rules for a season and following those rules. That's it. You think organization of materials is buying containers. You think organization of materials is looking like Pinterest. You think organization of materials is labeling everything in your house. It is not. Organization of materials is all about creating personal rules for a season and then following those rules, because you're going to have to do it again. So let me recap those. Number 1, everything has a place, but you get to pick where that place is. Number 2, organization and reorganization happens at every life stage and every unexpected event. Stop resisting it. Just embrace it. The reorganization is part of the transformation and it is your way of embracing and going through this change. Rule number 3, maintain what is working. Don't try to do what other people are doing. Do what works for you and then be comfortable with that. Rule number 4, organization of materials has an order. If you're frustrated and you never feel like you're making any progress, forget about the family and communal spaces for 6 months. Focus on you. Focus on the storage room. Focus on the paper. And then go back to the mini tornadoes that are in your houses all the time. And then rule number 5, organization of materials is all about creating personal rules for a season and then follow those rules. That is how you get the executive function of organization of materials more organized, more solidified, and giving you that peace of you're doing more right than you realize. You are doing more right than you realize. You're just grading yourself on somebody else's rubric, somebody else's example of what organized looks like. You're doing just fine.